Friends, before we get started, let's take a moment and pray together, shall we? Kind Father, we love you so much, and you are just so good, and I just pray that this day you would be glorified. May you be glorified in our love and our service. May you be glorified in your word, in our love of your word. May you be glorified in our worship, Lord. This day is yours. And so, Lord, specifically, I pray that you would be with me, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help me to speak with clarity. And I just pray that you would open up your word and it would be living and active. We are anxious to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would like to follow along in your own Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning, the Gospel of Matthew, and then we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 6. So I'm so grateful. The other pastors did an awesome job while I was gone and allowed us to have a little time away. We've been on family vacation for a couple weeks, and we went out to do a trip to Washington, D.C., and we thought if we were going to be out in that area, we should cram in as much East Coast history as we possibly could. So we tried to do it all, man. We did all the Smithsonian stuff, and we went to the Museum of the Bible, and we did the White House and the Capitol Building and all the memorials. We ran up to Gettysburg. We ran down to Colonial Williamsburg. We ran back up to Philadelphia. We went to 5 different states. We averaged 9.5 miles of walking today. I could not wait to get back to the office so I could relax. But our very last day on our family vacation ended up being Amber's birthday. And so we asked Amber, you know, it's your big day, what do you want to do? And she wanted to go to the beach. So we planned our last day to be there at the beach. Our kids have never seen the Atlantic Ocean before. And it was just, man, it was a beautiful day. The sun came out. We spotted a whale from shore. It was so cool. It was just an awesome day. But I got to tell you, being from Wyoming, 3 days from the ocean, the Dunlaps are not so good at the beach. We're not experienced beach goers. Because what happened was we thought, well, here's what we're going to do. We'll bring some food with us, and then we'll do a little birthday picnic on the beach, which seemed like a great idea. But I'm telling you, The instant that I opened that little plastic bag that has the bread in it, we were swarmed with all these seagulls. And it just was like crazy. And just immediately. And so we didn't know what to do. So the boys and I, we jump up and we're flailing our arms around, like yelling and screaming, trying to scare the seagulls away. Amber's trying to make sandwiches like half under a beach towel. We woof them down as fast as we possibly can, kind of scanning the skies. The Dunlaps aren't so good at the beach, okay? And I'm not just talking about the pale skin, okay? We're not too experienced. Isn't it frustrating when you have something good, beautiful, delicious, and almost instantly that good thing is snatched away? You make a 30-yard gain only to throw an interception in your very next pass. You finally get a day off so you can run out to the lake, and it rains. You have a little victory. You finally do something important for the kingdom of God, and immediately afterward, your mind is flooded with all sorts of negative thoughts. You're a fake, you're a phony, you're a loser, you'll never change. You'll never change. So here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the crowds there on the mountainside. And he's talking about all these good habits that God wants to instill within us. Prayer and fasting and giving to the poor and serving the needy. Loving others. But as he does, Jesus warns the crowd, your motives matter. As you do these things, your attitude matters. You see, we can do the right thing. We can do all these good deeds that he's talking about. We can love, we can serve, but then, like a ravenous seagull, our selfishness swoops in. Our sinful hearts swoop in and snatch away what would be this good thing. So let's read about it. Let's read what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, he gives an example, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In typical Jesus fashion, our Savior cuts right to the truth that we don't want to admit. It is human nature to want to look good without having to be good. It is human nature to want to look good without having to actually be good. Guys, we all desire this. We all want respect. We all want honor and admiration. We all care what other people are thinking about us, what other people are saying about us. And you don't have to teach us to behave this way. It's kind of in our DNA. And so if we do something good, man, we want to get noticed. We want the credit. I really am a good person. I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but a while back I was at the coffee shop and they had just served me my cappuccino, which I was so anxious to dig into. And I was about to put a dollar in the tip jar when I noticed the barista turned her back to me and walked away. And I'm embarrassed to admit, what did I do? I waited. And I held on for a few seconds until she turned back and started walking to the counter. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to put that dollar in the tip jar. Because I'm like, does it even count if they don't see you do it? She doesn't know how kind I'm being to her. But Jesus challenges the ego within me that wants to make sure everyone knows what a good guy I am. And he says, William, no. If you're going to give a gift, do it in secret. Without thanks, without recognition, because if this is an act of love, it's not about you. Love without expectation. Love without expectation. Now, you might assume this whole hypocritical attitude of, you know, announcing your good deeds with trumpets, oh, that's just something people struggled with back in Jesus' day, right? But friends, I'm telling you, this struggle is alive and well in the 21st century. In fact, I think this has exponentially increased since the digital revolution. In fact, this has become so prevalent, we invented a new word for it. Virtue signaling. I'm going to tell everyone online, I'm going to get up and I'm going to type in the chat, and I'm going to let everyone know what an awesome, virtuous person I am. I'm going to make sure that I post the right picture showing that I'm supporting the right cause. I'm going to comment about how I shop at all the right stores. When I go on a mission trip, I'm going to make sure I take selfies with all the children I can find. And post them all online just so everyone knows, look what I'm doing, what a difference I'm making. So I can look good without it actually costing me anything. But my friends, Jesus challenges our virtue signaling culture and says, motives matter. Your attitude matters. It's not just what you're doing, it's why you're doing it. Jesus cares about the heart. And understand, this isn't something that he said just one time in one little chapter. No, this is the heart of Jesus that comes out again and again and again in places like Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, Jesus says this. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, I bet everyone in the room has heard this before. We call this the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. One time when my kids were much, much smaller, one of my sons kind of whacked one of the other sons and there was crying and I came into the room and I'm like, what happened? He's like, well, he hit me and so I hit him back because, you know, do to others what they do to you. I'm like, no, that's no. Almost, but no. No. The whole idea of the golden rule, I mean, the golden rule, do to people what you would want them to do to you. And what a beautiful and wonderful life philosophy. How much better the world would be if we could all live by this simple principle of the golden rule. But believe it or not, Jesus was not the only ancient teacher to teach this principle. For example, Confucius, the 6th century BC Chinese philosopher, he said, "Don't do to others what you do not want them to do to you," which is kind of like the negative version of the golden rule. But friends, think about this with me for a second. Have you noticed the golden rule is reciprocal in nature? If I'll respect you, then you'll respect me. If I'm kind to you, then you'll be kind back to me. There is a reciprocal benefit to doing good to others. And this common sense philosophy is not actually 100% unique to Jesus. But as we keep reading, friends, here's what Jesus says. He says something that is so radical, so countercultural. Let's get into it. Verse 32. Jesus says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even, quote, sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But," here's what he says, "love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." Now, friends, I'm going to read that again because that tells us something so important about the heart of God. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Man, Jesus says, give to people who will not pay you back. Be kind to people who are never going to be kind back to you. Love people who may never love you in return. Love in a non-refundable way. In fact, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Followers of Jesus have learned to love without expecting a reward. Those who follow Jesus, who try so hard to pursue the way of life he has called us to do, we try to love others and serve others and do good to others without expecting to receive anything in return. Guys, I'm telling you, this right here, this is a radical new kind of love. It is love without expectation. And this love is so countercultural. It rails against every inclination and every fiber of our being, because as broken, selfish, sin-sick humans, what we always want to know is this right here. What's in it for me? Hang on. What's in it for me? Okay, yeah, I'll do that for you. But first, tell me, what's in it for me? You know, I'll lend you that money, but what's in it for me? I'll go there with you, but what's in it for me? I'll help you move that piano upstairs. But are you going to buy us pizza? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? This, my friends, is transactional love. If I'll love you if you love me back. And if we are not careful, we may begin to love our neighbors transactionally, our friends, even our spouse. I'll love you back if you love me first. Now, this attitude of reciprocity, this was very common in first century Roman culture. In fact, their culture kind of revolved around the patron-client system. And so what would happen in ancient Rome, if you were a young guy trying to make your way in the world, you would approach someone who was wealthy and successful and well-connected, and you would ask them to be your patron. And so the patron would then grant you a favor. You know, I'll pay for your schooling. I'll nominate you to that political position. I'll find you a wife. I'll find you a job. But in return, you now owe me a favor. And so someday I'm going to expect that you're going to pay me back. And so if it's, you know, someday you're going to pay me back with interest, or you're going to vote for me because I helped you, or you know, you're going to honor me, you're going to brag about me in the public square. The whole system is really a very mafia, very Godfather type system, you know? Yeah. I will do you this favor, but someday, and understand that day may never come, but I will call upon you to do some service for me. This is my Godfather impression. Amazing, huh? Yeah? Oh, I was not trying to get applause, but thank you. I was not doing that to get. But guys, it's not just the Roman society. It's not just the Godfather. This is kind of like how the world works, isn't it? Life is transactional. Life is reciprocal. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. One hand washes the other. And so what happens is, naturally, reciprocally minded people, we get saved, we start to follow Jesus, and so we try to do what Jesus calls us to do. I'm going to love people, I'm going to serve people, I'm going to be kind, but we naturally do so in a transactional way. I need a little something. I need a little credit. I need a little recognition. I need a little gratitude. I need everyone to notice what a good person I am. I will love, but only when that love is beneficial. And yet, church, in the midst of our insatiable pride, Jesus looks right into the hearts of his followers and says, no, love without expectation. Love people who don't deserve to be loved. Serve people who will never, ever say thank you. Be kind to people who are rude or critical or negative all the time. Or narcissistic. Love other people, even if they never love you back. Just love. Love, period. Love, full stop. Now, if we jump ahead to chapter 14, Jesus is having lunch at someone's house, and look what he says. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Again, heart check. What are you doing this for? Why are you making this gesture? Are you doing it so others can see? Or so that your heavenly Father, who sees what we do when no one else is looking, will witness the spiritual health of our heart. Number three, beloved, let us love and serve for God's attention alone. Church, whenever we do good, whenever we reach out, whenever we give and serve, whenever we're kind and compassionate and loving, may we do so for an audience of one. So today is our 8th annual Serve the City Sunday. 8th annual. I love it. I love this day. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to break into work teams, and we're going to go all over the community, and we're going to do all sorts of different projects. There are going to be people that are mowing and weed eating. There are going to be people who are picking up trash. There are going to be people who are washing cars, hopefully, if the sun comes out. We're going to be people that are serving lemonade. They're going to be, man, making gifts, painting walls, doing so many different things. And as followers of Jesus, we know we're called to love others. And on Serve the City Sunday, we always talk about how we don't really know how to love, but the Bible teaches us, Jesus teaches us, love looks like service. But friends, slow down. Before we run out there to serve, we need to stop for a heart check. Why do we do this? Why have we done this 8 years in a row? Why do we disrupt our whole week and mess up our normal service times, and half the people can't remember when service is supposed to start? When is that again? Why do we put so much effort? And man, Pastor Nathan and Karen and Dylan and so many people have been working so hard to get this ready. Why are we doing this? Church, Serve the City Sunday is not to make us look good. It's not actually to try to get attention from other people. It is not a church growth strategy. It is not a bait and switch tactic to try to trick someone into having a faith conversation. No. And now, don't misunderstand. If someone asks us what we're doing and why, if they start asking questions and a spiritual door opens that we can have a conversation, that would be so awesome. But that's not actually the primary goal. The goal of what we are doing today is simply to follow the words of our Savior Jesus Christ and to love people, period. Love without expectation, just love, no matter what happens next. And so guys, I don't know what your job is going to be today. You may have a job that feels very unimportant. You might find yourself not interacting with someone. You might be pulling weeds out in the middle of an empty field looking around like, what am I doing this for? It might feel like you're making zero spiritual impact. You might have a job where you might serve people who are rude or ungrateful. It might feel like your task today is so tiny, so insignificant, so meaningless and unseen. But friends, listen to the truth that comes from God's word. Your heavenly Father sees. And so much more important than the deed itself, he sees your heart. Therefore, let us give him hearts that are anxious to love, longing to love the people that he loves as he does. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would check our hearts. Lord, as we sang, we want to be a little bit more like you every day. We want to be shaped and molded into your image. We want to love like you love, Jesus. But Lord, we admit that we're not fully there yet. We fall short. So Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us, that you would make us more holy, more like you, that you would change us. Not just our outward actions, but Lord, change us from the inside out. Change our hearts, mold us, mold our attitudes, mold our desires. That we truly just want to love people. And we're not waiting around for them to do something back. We just love people. And we just smile big knowing that you've seen us love the way you love. Lord Jesus, may your blessing be upon today. I pray that you would protect people. Watch over them as we're going to be around cars. We're going to be, you know, pushing mowers and things like that. Watch over and protect people. And we pray for good weather. We pray for that the right people would show up that we could interact with and bless and serve people who need it. Lord, we're intentionally serving right now when pretty much every other Christian is at church right now so that we can interact with people who don't go to church and we can love them. So Lord, I just pray that you would bless our service today. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all these things in your mighty name. And all God's people agreed together and said,
Amen.
Amen.